Hebrews chapter 4, please, just for a couple of verses. This morning we're looking at a sensitive subject, and I've called it the process of grieving, mourning and loss. And it's a very sensitive one, I'm aware of that. So we pray God will help us this morning. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now would you turn over and go to the book of Job, please. Easiest way for you to find it is the book before the Psalms, and you'll find it far easier that way. Job chapter 1, please. We'll begin reading at Job 1 and verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Keep your Bible open there. We will refer to this chapter in a moment. Let us pray. Eternal Father, again we thank you this morning that we have the freedom and the liberty yet still afforded to us in this country to be able to gather together and to remember your Son around this table and to sing praises and worship unto thee. We thank you this morning, Father, for the multitude you've brought in again this Lord's Day morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. For your presence makes the feast, and thine anointing destroys the yoke. And we pray for your presence and anointing to destroy yokes and of hurt and mourning and bondage this morning, to the glory of the name of Jesus. Remember those who are still tender after bereavement, and Lord, we ask you to minister to them, help them and strengthen them. We pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you'd remember those who are in hospital, who are sickly and who would love to be with us this morning but cannot due to their ill health. We pray, Lord, that you'd minister to them also. And for those who are at home and those who are sickly, or those who are even away, we pray today, Father, for them. But for us who are here and for those who are watching live or later, we pray your hand of blessing and your word to go forth to our hearts. And Lord, help this man of clay lips and frailty to, Lord, to be able to be led by your Spirit, to open his own heart to thy leading, that I may be used as a vessel of honor for thee this morning. That you'll be glorified and seen alone. For Jesus' name's sake, I pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. When we speak this morning of the process of grieving, mourning, and loss, I wanted to be clear that I know it's sensitive, and all of us, if not most of us, but I'm sure all of us to some degree have had a sense of loss in our lives. Some of the loss may have been very close, and some of the loss may have been not so close, but people also feel the sense of loss and even mourn over the loss of different things, not just loved ones. Loved ones is that thing that hits us hard, but people have a sense of loss over a career. People might say, well, sure, that's a silly thing. No, but people have put their heart into this and they feel the sense of loss or over house or over marriage, and they are going through a time with their spouse. So people feel a sense of loss in many various and different ways, and that loss is real to them. So we cannot by any means belittle the loss that they feel at that present point in time and season in which they will go through. You know, when a believer says that they are reading the book of Job and set their heart to finish it, then it causes maybe other believers to think, well, they must be going through such a difficult time, or to ask if they're even depressed because of the reality and the severe trial that Job goes through and the content that's in the book of Job. I remember one day, time years ago reading, I started reading from Genesis 1 right through to Revelation, the very last chapter, and I happened to get to the book of Job and I started reading it. Now this is years ago, and I happened to mention to an older Christian that I'm reading the book and I was enjoying reading it. And that was the question he asked me. Why are you depressed? And I said, no. In fact, I'm enjoying it. It's helping me. And others think that if you read it, that it might be because you're depressed. But it's there for a reason, for those who are going through severe trial and for those who are just looking to hear from Almighty God. There's a process that has been laid down for those who are in mourning, who are going through deep trial. And the process goes like this, something like this. First of all, we start with denial. We deny that it's happening, wishing it to go away, but it doesn't. Denial. Secondly, we can go into anger. We get angry because it's happened. And yet we can go between denial and anger. Then we can go into bargaining. Sometimes we think that if only I had have done this or that, if only I had have been better or treated that person differently, if only I had have been there, I could have stopped this. And even bargaining with God. And then the next would be depression. Such a deep sense of the loss comes in where we become incapacitated. Maybe can't get out of bed. Maybe our brain is so consumed with it, the functioning of our everyday duties falls away and we cannot function with it, for we fall into depression. And then eventually at some point, we come to the place of acceptance. We accept that it has happened. We accept that there's nothing we can do to change it. We accept that because there's nothing we can do, then we accept that we have to try to make the life that we have left we have to try and make something of it. And we go between some of these. It's not a straight line. You can get so far and then come back so far again. So Job himself in the book, in chapter 1, goes through such a loss. He goes into a place of grieving and mourning and loss. You know the word Job, his name means is Evod, and it means this. It means hardship, or it can mean persecuted, to feel that trial upon the life, to feel that difficulty that's come, that brokenness that none can fix, that no one can help. In our reading of Job chapter 1, we have Job's servants were slain. Look at verse 15. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee, said the messenger. So first of all, he loses his cattle. Secondly, in verse 16, Job loses his sheep. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee, said the second messenger. And thirdly, Job's camels. And while he was, in verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Notice this. Three trials hit Job's house, hit Job's heart one after another. While the first messenger, the second messenger was speaking, came a third messenger. And Job is starting to suffer loss. Loss of his income. Loss of that which he's built up over the years. Loss of, if you want, his livelihood. And there's people who are so hung on it that they feel that when they lose that part of their life, their livelihood, they feel the loss of it. They feel that, what am I going to do now? How am I going to survive? What will I feed my children and my family with? And they feel the stress of it, even to the point that some have taken their own lives over it. They have went into a place of grieving and mourning the loss of it. And they take their very lives over the stress that comes upon it, the fear that lands on them because they feel they've lost their livelihoods. And it's natural for you and I to feel sympathy here for Job for these first three losses. I feel sympathy for Job, and I'm sure you feel sympathy for him as well. Oxen were gone, his sheep were gone, his camels were gone. That's terrible, and look at poor Job. There's something we've missed, brothers and sisters. There's something that we've all missed. And I never realized this until I sat down. I had this idea, and it just blossomed into what we're going to look at this morning. And it just came, I read commentaries and I wasn't getting what I got here. And I thought, Lord, I'll just use whatever you give me. The oxen and the sheep and the camels are gone. His livelihood's gone. We feel sorry for Job. Have you ever thought of what about the poor servants who lost their lives? You see, sometimes our attention can be distracted and our attention is fixed and focused here on Job. But there are so many families who are affected by that which happened to Job's business, if you want. There are so many other people affected even by decisions that you and I make in life. And here these enemies come and these happenings happen and the very servants are all dead. And all of those families are thrown in to grieving, to mourning, and into loss. So here's a lesson for us. And again, I'm saying this because I know there's been a lot, even, I think, from the end of summer past there to now, I think I've been to around 15 funerals. Many of them I've had to take myself. And I'm aware, right up until Tuesday past, our sister Teresa lost her father. So I'm aware of the sensitivity of this, and I've lost my own and my own family. So I understand loss. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we think we're on our own in our loss. And nobody understands or has went through what I'm going through, because our loss is our loss. Our grieving is our grieving. Our mourning is our mourning. But there's many others that are in the same place and position as us. And sometimes if we just shift the thinking, the servants had a great loss and all their families lost too. You're not alone. You're not on your own in your loss. There's people who have went through loss, and I could go right around here and I could pick even in every block where all you people are, I could pick at least one or a few of people who have in recent years lost loved ones. You know, when your loved one dies, and it's like, stop the world, I want to get off. Your loved one dies and it's, why are you all continuing to drive in your cars and walk about and get on your own business? Do you not know of my grief, for my loved one has passed away? I remember going to register my mother's death. She died at 53 years of age. And I was walking through Belfast city centre to the city hall, and the buses are going up and down Royal Avenue, and the people are walking about in and out of the shops. And I'm heading, you see the city hall right in front of me, I'm heading down to register that my mummy died. And I wanted to stop in the middle of Royal Avenue and stand in front of the buses and shout to everybody, wait a wee minute. Do you not know what's happened? Do you not understand what's going on today? My mommy died. But life went on. It takes a while to realize that you can draw close to others who have been in like circumstance, because they realize that you and them have went through a similar experience of hurt and grief and mourning. Job's servants were slain, and they were thrown into mourning too. You see, it's not until the fourth loss that's in this chapter. It's not until the fourth loss, when we read it, do we recoil in horror and shrink back in abject fear, as life and loss has accelerated itself from being objective to us. In other words, it's something we look at, and we're not influenced by our personal feelings by the first three losses. It's objective, really, when we look at it. But the fourth loss, you see, the first three are distance. They're far off from our own lives. And they're just animals and historical people. It's just some of the masses, again, of humanity. And anyway, our initial thinking is about Job, so it's objective. It doesn't really affect me. And I haven't got my 10 cents worth in there to be too worried about it. But when the fourth one comes, it pricks our ears up, doesn't it? Look at the fourth one. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now it starts to rap your door, doesn't it? Now it starts to rap your door. See, it was all objective. We had no really, you know, we had no feeling in that, as it were. It's historical. It's people we don't know. It's animals. It's happened in the past. We read it and it's just there as a matter of fact, and it's objective. But now, it's different. It's not objective. It's objective. In other words, it takes us to read this chapter and we see how it comes closer to Job and how these things have come in time and memorial against each other until it reaches our door. Do you know the funerals you've been at many times and stood around the graveside? And the poor people who are left behind as well. Mourning and you do feel for them, but you can go home and ach, it was sad, but it's over. But it's beginning for them. It's over for you and I when we are at the grave. We maybe think about them, ach, poor such and such, that's sad. See, it's nearly objective. It's a bit of a distance. But when it comes and raps our door, that's different, isn't it? That's so different when it raps your own door. And then you realize what that family, that person, that man, that woman, or those children have went through. We see it coming closer to Job here. Oh no, my oxen or my cattle, my sheep, my camels. Oh, even Job will go, my servants. It's all bad. You can be heartbroken over that. But when the last one comes and says, your children. Oh, don't even want to think about that. It's not true, parent. Grandparent, you don't even want to think about it. Here's something we must just break off to take note from. It tells us twice that they were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And it tells us this twice. First of all, it tells us in verse 13. And then it tells us again of it in verse 18. And it shows us that we all must be ready. In other words, we all must be saved and ready. For we know not the day and the hour when these things could come upon us. And here's another point for us just while we're here. Not only should we be ready, but we should not be found in such a place. when the Lord comes or calls. The fourth loss takes us from objectivity to objectivity. And objection really is a depressed, bleak, heavy-hearted state of mind. A depressed and a bleak, heavy-hearted state of mind. And it happens, listen, due to a series of bad happenings and disappointments. A series of bad happenings has happened to Job. And then the worst comes upon him. The first three losses, we see them distant and historical in the past and objective. And we read it without our own personal feelings or much opinion fixed or added to it. Although none of us want to lose business or property or revenue, we can see that there is always a chance in life to recoup the loss and to rebuild our possessions and to restart again when it's all of those things. And people have lost their lives and they've committed suicide over the loss of their job or business. Listen, there's always life to live, no matter what your loss is, but there's always life to live. There's always a chance to recoup. If you're living, you can always start again. Job could have said with the first three, oh no, it's horrible, but I'll start again. But with the fourth one, now that was different. That was different. While Job may be able to recoup the loss and rebuild his possessions and start again, the permanency and the reality, please get this, because I know there's hurting people and I want you to know this is to realize that I've been here, many others have been there and have been through things that you're going through and you're not on your own. But when you look at the reality of what it is, that maybe some acceptance can come that you might be able to gather strength and move on. Listen to this. And I wrote this not from a book. I wrote it from my own well thinking of all that has happened to me and my loss to try and help you in your loss. All of my family are gone but a brother in Scotland. All of them are dead. Sisters, mum, dad, you name it. When we lose things, we can recoup and restart and rebuild again. We can try and do that, but the permanency and the reality of the fourth loss is what strikes home and buries the heart in fear. But it's the finality of it. The finality is what I have called the reality wave that washes over your mind and heart and says, you can't recoup this. You can't rebuild this. Because your loss of a loved one means in this life, you will not see them again. And that, oh, listen, I feel it with you. I think about mine all the time. That's in this life. But if you've had a loved one saved and gone on in Christ, and you're saved, and you die in Christ, or at the coming of Christ, you'll see them again. You'll be with them again. They're just going on a little before you. The finality of it washes over us and causes us to break Look at Job 1, verse 20, please. Here's what happens to Job. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Notice the term, and worshipped. And worshipped. Notice, he rent, he shaved, he fell, he worshipped. The first three expressions, he rent his robe, shaved his head and fell upon the ground. These three actions were Job's expression of deep grief and sorrow. His immense loss and pain is seen in his actions, but it was here that he found grace and strength to worship. Listen to Puritan John Trapp. But how blank, we think, was the devil when, hoping to hear Job blaspheme God, he heareth him blessing God's name in this sort. Many Christians I find, when their loved one is saved and ready, prepared, they pass away. Many Christians I hear, and they praise God and they give glory for the life of their loved one. Yes, they mourn, and yes, they're hurting, and yes, they grieve, and they have a loss, but they thank God for the salvation of their loved one who's gone on before, and they just love the Lord at that moment more. And some people will wonder, how are they getting through this? And they take the rush of we want to show this by being in service, by being at every, as it were, meeting of God's people. We want to do this to show people our faith in Christ. You see, according to James 4 and 6, and although James likens us on to being tempted, but yet we are tempted to blaspheme God and to walk away from God and from our faith when we see a loved one dying or we go through a heavy trial. And James 4 and 6 says, he giveth more grace. And whatever happens to us, we tend to get more grace. As it were, to carry on, to keep going on. And people look at us through the whole time of it and they say, how are you going on? And you're going, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going on. I feel I'm as weak as water. I feel like my legs are like jelly. I feel my heart is melted within me. I feel of no strength left. There's nothing I can do here but just existing. But yet God has given you, as it were, more grace at that place and that point in time to be able to get over and through that circumstance, especially initially. And you haven't done it on your own. He's been with you. You may not even have felt it. You may not have thought you had experienced it. But others have probably seen it. And they've looked upon you and said, how are you doing it? Well, he giveth more grace. You see, Job renting his mantle is to show his profound sadness and extreme grief. That's how we feel, isn't it? You want to shout and yell and scream in anger and frustration, and you hate what's happened and you can't believe it's going on. You want to rent your mantle, as it were. Look what's happening. Stop the world and let me off. Do you not realize what has happened to my loved one? I get it. I've been there, and honestly, I get it. As it were, I've rent my mantle quite a few times. And even sometimes down the years, that reality we have hits me again. And I rent my mantle when I'm on my own all over again. I rent it. And Job renting his mantle shows his profound sadness and grief. And Job's rent mantle signified outwardly Job's broken heart inwardly. Job's shaved head was an outward expression of his mournful state of mind. Shaved his head. people would say, he must have went mad. Someone does something like that in the sense of through a hard time and they just shave their head. They think it's mental illness has come. But here, Job shaves his head as a sign that his mental state is affected. And the thing about it is, brothers and sisters, God has written this here that we might understand that he knows everything about it. For Hebrews 4 and 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched with everything we have went through. He experiences everything we have experienced. He knows everything that we have thought and how our mental state has been. And in this, Job says, I've shaved my head to show that I can't cope. He falls upon the ground as a lack of strength left in him. His knees hit the dirt. His face goes onto the ground. How do you know his face went into the ground? For the word worship means he lay on his face with his forehead in the dirt. You can't get any worse than this. You can't get any lower than this. You can't seem any more hurt than this. And he worshipped. Lord, I don't like this. Lord, I hate this. Lord, this is killing me. Lord, this is hurting me. Lord, I'm not going to cope through this. But I know you're God and I'll trust you. I'll trust you, Lord. Job's words were not wrong. Listen, there's no right way and there's no wrong way for mourning. There's no right way and no wrong way for mourning. And there's no length of time. And some people who seem to get on with it, they haven't expressed much of a mourning heart, doesn't mean to say they're not in mourning. They deal with it differently. And some people who are broken and can't cope at times, doesn't mean they're weaker. It means it's how they express it. Look at Job, how he's expressed his heart. So Job seemingly does well in the sense that verse 22 says, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. But because Job seemingly does well, this does not mean that his courage, that his comfort or his constitution is now without care and now he feels no pain. Doesn't mean that. Job is absolutely wrecked. He's in bits. Job has had that initial, well done, Job, through this great loss. You know that initial we spoke of when people seem to do well and they want, they see something, how you're getting through it, and they wonder, Christian, how you do. And it's simply the only reason we can say is that God has given more grace. And that's the well done here. And Job has initially come through the well done, the special grace period. But we find the reality wave will come along and will find you when you're at your lowest or whenever you're at your best even. Hits you, blindsides you, comes out of nowhere. And it can take you right off your feet and put you on your tail end and leave you in the proverbial dust. And all of a sudden you wonder, how is Alma getting here now? How is this happening to me now? Surely I should be down the road. And you know, grieving is strange because one minute when you're grieving, you think, well, maybe I should be over this by now. And sometimes you go along the road and you think, well, maybe I didn't love them enough because I'm not grieving long enough. That's grief. I'm going to be a wee bit vulnerable here. Matt and June Seifert, you know, June does grief share, and I'd advise you to talk with her, and they do a great job. But Alison and I, some months ago, were having a meal with them. And I can't remember how I came around, and I said to June, tell me something. See if someone has passed away almost 28 years ago. Is it really possible to still feel the pangs of it and even feel it's got worse? Even though it's been all those years? And June said to me, absolutely. Says, why? I said, I know someone it happened to. Says, who was that? I said, me. Me. Not so long ago. Nobody knew, but I was in terrible grief over my mother who died 20-odd years ago. And yet all those years had passed. This month, my father's dead 11 years. And I grieve, but I feel like I'm on along the road now. And I've got the better days part. But all those years back, whether it brought it to mind again, I don't know. But it hit me like a reality wave. It's the only way I can describe it. And find you, places you in the proverbial dust, so to speak. Chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, and there was a day. Notice, there was a day. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day. There was a day. And all this happens. Wonder where Job is. He's worshipping now. Oh, well, he must be getting better. He must be doing all right. Because he's back at work, or he's up and about, or he's mixing among the crowd. He's back out of church. She's doing all right because she's back out of church. No, people are just moving on with life, trying to deal with the circumstance they've found themselves in. See, there was a day. But at some point, again, there was a day. Another time when it hits you like a reality wave. And that whole grace, you know, that got you through the initial period when it seemed like you were on fire for God. And then you start to move on and suddenly it hits you again. Oh, and it knocks you off your feet into the dust. Look, I have too much material this morning. And time is flowing. But in chapter 2, verse 7, Job is smote with sore boils. And he ends up in the dust. And although we're not told how Satan smote Job with sore boils, we should also realize that constant grief and sorrow and stress and worry and anger and even bitterness can bring all sorts of illnesses and types of diseases upon us. Our immune system breaks down. And we leave ourselves susceptible not only to spiritual attack, we leave ourselves susceptible to disease and illness. What about lack of skin diseases and nervous diseases and all manner of sicknesses, stomach illnesses? Ephesians 4 and 12, Paul tells us to neither give place to the devil. I'm going to have to close this. I have too much material, so let me round this up. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we have Job's wife saying, curse God and die to him. And I have to be honest, in time past, I've been critical of this woman. Man's gone through a hard enough time, and there his wife, all's taken away from him. He's only left with an old moaning wife. Curse God and die. She's not helping him. Well, you know what? And that was what my thinking was until the other day I read this. And then it came to me, she was going through it too. She had lost her children. She didn't know what was going to happen to the family business. She was going through it too. So let's not be too hard on Mrs. Job this morning. For she feels what he felt. And when you feel it, your spouse will feel it. And they go through it with you. In Job 23 and verse 2, Job says, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Job is expressing that he cannot even express or explain how he feels. Do you ever feel like that? You can't even tell how you're feeling. There's no words for what you're feeling. Only someone else who's went through it will understand what you're going through. So I finish with a quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Fits of depression come over most of us. Usually cheerful as we may be, we must at intervals be cast down. The strong are not always vigorous. The wise are not always ready. The brave not always courageous. And the joyous not always happy. There's no potion in this. Can you let the children know to come up, please? There's no potion that you can drink. I'm not making up a potion here. Drink this. There's no lotion to make it up and rub it in and make you feel better. And there's no ocean that you can cross that you can run away from it. But it's a process. But you can go through that process with Christ. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then we're told that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. If you've heard anything this morning, understand there's others that go through what you're going through. Understand that there are those who will come along like Job's three friends and will say to you, oh, you must have done something wrong or horrible or terrible. I had one of those friends came to me when I lost my two sisters in the same week. I buried one week and buried one the same day the next week. And this wonderful Christian saying, wondering what sin was in our life. And where I'd allowed the devil to come in. And if I had more faith, they would not have died. Now, if I had been someone who didn't know any better, I would have been destroyed by it. I'd have been destroyed by it. But brothers and sisters, listen. If you know that, you'll not be destroyed. God is sovereign over it all. Run to him. Run to his throne of grace. You'll find mercy in your time of need and help there. May God bless you this morning. And bless his word to our hearts. Team, would you come up, please? We'll